Okay, tonight we learn the Haftarah for the first day of Pesach. In the Shulchan Arshim, it's found on page Tafrei Samach Dalid. And this takes us to Sefer Yeshua. Very appropriately, on the night or the day that we commemorate the very first Korban Pesach, we lain the story of the first Korban Pesach in Eretz Yisrael, which takes place here in Yehoshua Perakei. This is known in the expression of Chazal as Pesach Gilgal, the Pesach they brought when the Mishka was in Gilgal.
And here,
so we have a bit of a contradiction in two Rashis. It's an amazing thing that in Mitzrayim they brought one Korban Pesach, and in the Midbar they brought one Korban Pesach. And it seems strange that in 40 years in the Midbar, they would bring only one Korban Pesach. Now Rashi explains this twice. Problem is, these two explanations appear to be contradictory. Once in Parshas Bai, and once in Parshas Ba'alo Yischa. In Parshas Bai, Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Chafei, Rashi gives a very simple explanation for why they brought only one Korban in the Midbar. The Pasuk there, when the commandment of bringing the Korban Pesach is issued, the pasuk says, "V'haya ki savayu el ha'aretz." It will be when you arrive in the land of Israel. Ashi'itan Hashem lachem kashadiber u'shmaratem es avayda hazais. So Rashi says, very simple. The reason they didn't bring any other Korban Pesach is because this is a mitzvah tuliyav ha'aretz. It's a mitzvah that begins only when they get into Eretz Yisrael. Rashi there says, Tola hakosa mitzvah zu bibi osa ba'aretz. V'lei deschaivu b'midbar ela pesach echad she'osu b'shan ha'shniya al pi adibor. The fact that they did bring one Korban Pesach, the first Nisan, beginning of the second year, Rashi says that was al pi adibor, that was a special commandment, and they were part of the other 39 years. Now, there's a problem that we always say that any mitzvah they were commanded only b'yosam ala aretz starts after the 14 years of kibush and chiluk. Now what we're about to learn is when they cross into Eretz Yisrael. It's before the 14 years. So this mechilta that Rashi's quoting holds that the mitzvah Korban Pesach began 14 years after they entered the land. But twice there was a mitzvah al pi hadibur. One the first year in the Midbar and the first year in Eretz Yisrael. So that there was one Korban of Mitzrayim, one in the Midbar, Pesach Gilgal, and then from the 14th year that they were in Eretz Yisrael and on a permanent basis. That's Rashi in Bai. Rashi in Bahaloischa, Perek Tes Pasuk Aleph, says something very different, and it's one of those theories that is very hard to resolve. Rashi there says, Lomalei Pasach Bezu, why didn't the book of Bamidbar begin with this? Neshu Genusan Shel Yisrael, because this is a embarrassing point about the Jewish people. It's a shameful thing. Shekol Arbaim Shana Shal Yisrael Bamidbar LeYekrivu Ala Pesach Zu Bulvad. Then in all the 40 years they were in the Midbar, this was the only Korban Pesach that they offered. Now here it says Genusim Shel Yisrael. It's a shame of the Jewish people. That's the only Korban Pesach. That's pretty clearly a contradiction to the other Rashi, and it needs a good resolution. Now Tosis in Kedushin Daf Lamed Zayin, Daf Yomi passed it a few days ago. Tosis actually answers. He says that the first Rashi is right. There was no commandment in the Midbar except the first year. The Genusim Shel Yisrael was that they should have been in the Midbar only 1 year. And they were 40 years in the Midbar because they served the Egel. So that was the Genus of Klal Yisrael. It's not a satisfying answer because that doesn't sound like what Rashi is saying in Bahaloischa. It sounds like it's something of an issue. The better resolution is the fact that even when Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak were not commanded in the Korban Pesach, they brought one voluntarily. And the Genus of Shal Yisrael is while they weren't commanded in the remaining years in the Midbar, they should have done so on a voluntary basis. They should have brought a Korban Pesach. That's a simpler way to resolve the stira between the two Rashis. There are other suggestions, but be that as it may, let it stand. Let's get to Arav Tyre. Because we're going to discuss that here in the Aftira. Let's see. The Aftira, according to the Dina de Gemara, should start from Ba'esahi. And in the Broyas Kehila, they still start from Ba'esahi. But most communities, going back 400 years, add the first three psukim that you see in Yochamashim. Vayabri Yahshua Elohim is Kadoshu Kimacha Yas Hashem Bikirbechem Niflois. What we do is we add three psukim to sort of set the tone. To set the tone that if you start from Beis Ahi, and you don't learn Navi, you don't really know what it's talking about. At what point is Beis Ahi? So it's telling you that it's right after they crossed into Eretz Yisrael. Yeshua told the people, prepare yourselves. Kimachar Yas Hashem Bikirbechem Neflois. The next day was the miracle of the crossing of the Jordan River. Vayami Yeshua Akayanim Leimar Su'u Es Arayin Habris. The Ivrul of Neha'am, the Ori, which normally traveled in the center, at least according to one of the understands the way it traveled, here went in front of the people, V'yisos Ebris, V'yechul of Neha'am. And what happened is, when the Kayanim carrying the Ori stepped into the Yardane, the waters stopped flowing, and the Jews were able to cross on the dry land. V'yemer Hashem Yeshua Hayyim Ezeh Ochel Gadelcha Be'edek Al Yisrael. Yeshua, today your leadership qualities will be seen. Asheyedun, the people will know. Ki kasher yisi in Moshe ya'imach. As I was with Moshe, I'll be with you. And the Jews cross into Eretz Yisrael. They cross into Eretz Yisrael on the 10th day of Nisan, exactly 40 years after the first time that they did Mesirus Nefesh. Mishku Kul Lachem, Chazal say, Rashi brings a Chumash, it was a Mesirus Nefesh, that in front of the Mitzrim, they took a carbon, they took the sheep, which is the Avodah Zarah of the Mitzrim, V'hein lo yiskalunu, aren't they going to kill us? And they did it anyway. And that was a Mesirus Nefesh. Now here, they entered Eretz Yisrael, and in this Haftarah, the first 10 psukim don't deal with the Korban Pesach. They deal with the necessary preparation, because one of the conditions for being a Korban Pesach is that someone be gemalit, that someone have a bris milah. And the pasuk tells us, Be'isa hi amar Hashem Yeshua, asei lecha charvois tsurim, make yourself sharp stones, b'shuv moel es b'nei Yisrael sheinis, and do literally a second milah to the Jewish people. Pashup shat, in Mitzrayim, the Jews did bris milah, and now, in a second time, they did an extraordinary bris milah to, I don't know how many people, probably a million people or more, had a bris milah here in one day. Imagine how many sandukos they had. I don't think they said tachton anywhere this day. So they did a bris milah to everybody. Now, as an aside, for the bris milah, they used a stone, not a blade. They didn't use a knife. If you remember, Moshe Rabbeinu similarly used the stone for bris milah. There's an interesting medrash quoted in the Tur Shulchan Aruch, in the Drisha. It says that stones were used for bris milah. The idea of using metal was second choice, because metal, a makas barzel, is considered a sakana, especially before they had antibiotics. Metal is more prone to becoming rusty and causing infection. And therefore, stone was typically used. Now, what the Medrash says is that when David came to Goliath and shot a stone at Goliath, Goliath had a helmet. And the stone would have bounced off the helmet. And the stone, so to speak, told the helmet, get out of my way, I have a job to do. And the helmet said, why should I get out of your way? So he said, I'll make a deal. I'll give you bris milah, and you let me through. He said, oh, that's a great deal. So they gave bris milah to the metal, and the wood went through. And the stone, rather, went through. Now, the Mechtem Eliyahu's explanation of this marshal in the Medrash is the following. Rashi in Chumash and Bereishis brings that metal is considered a utensil of destruction. You don't pick up metal on the stones of the Mizbeach or the Beis HaMikdash at all, because metal is a tool of destruction. Now, metal is a tool of positive things as well. It's true you can use a metal sword to kill somebody, but you use metal plows to plow the land, and you use metal for a lot of positive things. It's metal based on its original use. A man named Tuval Kayan discovered the possibility of making metal from metal ore, and he used that for tools of destruction. And everything goes according to its origin. Now, when the stone pierced the metal gave way, so to speak, for a constructive purpose, and it was a redemptive quality in the metal, then now the metal would be used for something constructive, which was in this case the Bris Milah. And you're allowed to use a stone, you can use anything. Anything that cuts for Bris Milah, and the Medrash here brings this idea. So at any rate, Yeshua goes, he makes these blades. So 40 years, only we did, the Levium. Everybody else didn't. So Gemara said, in the Yevamis. So the Gemara says, though actually the Pasuk says it, let's see the Pasuk and I'll explain why. V'yasla Yeshua charveis tzurim, v'yomalas b'nei Yisrael el givas ha'arolois. What an image. A hill of foreskins. A foreskin is tiny, but a million of them add up, and there was a hill of givas ha'arolois. Zeh adav ha'shavol Yeshua, kol ha'om ha'yaitzei b'Mitzrayim, ha'zecharim, all the Jews who had exited Egypt in males, kol ha'chei b'chom ha'meisum ha'midbar, b'derach b'tzeisim b'Mitzrayim. Those who left died in the Midbar. Kil mulim ha'yu kol ha'om ha'yaitzim. The Jews who left Egypt had bris milah. Kol ha'om ha'yilaydim ha'midbar, b'derach b'tzeisim b'Mitzrayim lo'y malu. And those who were born in the Midbar did not have Bris Milah. Now the Gemara says the reason they didn't have Bris Milah is because it was a sakana in the Midbar. The simple reason it's a sakana is because traveling after a makkah is considered to be a sakana. And in the Midbar they never knew when they would travel. The Gemara adds a nekuda. The Gemara says that the years the Jews were in the Midbar, the north wind did not blow. The northern wind is the wind of bracha. And since the northern wind did not blow, they didn't do bris milah. Now, leaving aside the symbolism of the northern wind of the tzafin side, which always symbolizes hidden bracha. Tal is we're going to bench tal. Tal, it says, comes from the north. The Gemara says above Basra. But at any rate, the point is that, however that works, there was no bris milah in the Midbar because they would be traveling and they needed the bracha of the northern wind. Now, the first year in the Midbar, they didn't travel. They stayed at Har Sinai for over a year. Most people don't realize, but they learn Rashi. Rashi says that they left Har Sinai like Tinek HaBerech Mibes HaSefer. So people think the next morning after Har Sinai, they ran for the hills. It's not true. They only left when the Anan told them to leave, which was the following year. So the first year they did Bris Milah, but subsequent years they did not. So that's why they couldn't bring a carbon Pesach. So then the question comes, what? Why did Rashi bring that? Okay, so there's more to it. Because if that's the reason, then it's a very good reason. There are two problems. How did the Levium do Bris Milah? And why is that Kedusa Shel Yisrael? They were not allowed to. They were, so it's not clear there in the Gemara how you would explain it. However, it fits well with the Shita of the Rishayim brought in Halacha, that although only three mitzvahs are Yehar Gval Yavar, it's a Rishus to be Maisa Nefesh for other mitzvahs as well. That a person can be Maisa Nefesh for any mitzvah. Now how you Maisa your child's Nefesh for a mitzvah, I'm not exactly sure. But that they were permitted to do Bris Milah in the Midbar. They had a good excuse. They had an exemption. But it was an excuse. It wasn't an ideal thing. And they should have done the Bris Milah. They should have done the Karban Pesach. And they didn't. And therefore it's Kedusa Shel Yisrael. So here, they did a bris milah, and that's what the pasuk describes at length. Ki abam shana holchem b'nei Yisrael b'minbar, atoim kol agoy anchi amulchama yaitzim b'mitzrayim eshalo shomu b'koel Hashem, eshenishba Hashem lohem l'filti haroisim esaretz. Those Jews who sinned at the case of the Meraglim, there was an oath that they would not enter Eretz Yisrael. Shnishba Hashem lo veisam las islanu eretz avas chol v'dvash. Now here,
Which Jews didn't have a bris?
That child, that's a good question. But even a father of a child who doesn't have a bris is ineligible. In other words, it's not only the human being who doesn't have a bris, even a man owns a child or even a slave that's obligated in bris that has no bris is also not eligible for a carbon pesach. Well, that's the problem. The problem is if they were anusim, it shouldn't be that way, and it needs to be. The Gemara is saying that no northern wind blew and it was an exemption needs explanation. We've never heard of such an exemption. There are days when the northern wind, the Gemara actually says the northern wind blows a little every day. But, however we understand the Gemara, it's an agadah to the Gemara that needs explanation. But, yeah.
Is this a case of hotra or hodcha with the bris, and what's the status of the...
If it's a true sakana, then you are not allowed to do it. But that's belied by the fact that the Levim did it. So obviously, it was some type of dichoy, and it was not something that was lechatchila.
So then what's their status as Jews?
A Jew is a Jew even without a bris milah. It only affects a ger, it doesn't affect a Jew. A Jew without a bris milah is every bit a Jew. No difference. Rabbi Hirsch has an absolutely incredible introduction to this haftarah. I neglected to bring it here to read it to you. The language is just incredible, although I suspect he made up some of those words. But he says the following. He says, Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael ready to do battle. They came off the wars of Eivor HaYarden. They entered Eretz Yisrael. There was no secret that they came to conquer the land. The people in Eretz Yisrael, in Canaan, were prepared for war. As a matter of fact, shortly after they enter, a number of kings get together and attack together. The Mesiris Nefesh of Klal Yisrael crossing into Eretz Yisrael and doing a bris milah to all of the adult males. You know what happened in Shechem? Mm-hmm. They all had a bris milah, and then 2 13-year-olds killed out the whole city. And here you take your whole army. Yeshua says, okay, you know, they had Eretz Yisrael ready to do battle. And he says, okay, we're all having surgery today, you know, bris milah. And the third day of bris milah is a day that's special sakana, shlishi l'milah. And the whole Klal Yisrael did it. And he sees it as a statement. When Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, the sakana was, and remains, not to say, koichi v'oitzim yadi osali esachayel hazeh. And not to say, they'll come in, they'll fight wars and win the wars, and they'll be convinced that they win wars because the Israeli army is superior to the Arabs. So Klal Yisrael came in, the Rebbeinu Shlom said, listen, first things first, do bris milah. Now that's not very good strategy for war. It's not military strategy to take everybody and do bris milah to all of them. The only people that didn't have to do bris milah were Levim. The Levim were the guys sitting in Kailo. So it was a very touchy thing, but it was a statement that winning the war doesn't depend on strategy. Winning the war depends on following the Ratzon Hashem, and he sees in this long pasuk I just read you that for 40 years the Jews traveled in the Midbar, and they all died. They were all buried in the Midbar. There was no grave remain for all the whole Dar HaMidbar. They all were buried there. They all died there. And this was the Musar to the Yidden who came in. Hayiloidim b'Midbar, those who were born in the Midbar that came out, they saw that Tomu kol agoy anchi amulchama yetzim b'Mitzrayim. All those ready to do battle all died in the Midbar. So that this was a tremendous Mesiras Nefesh, a tremendous lesson. It mirrors the 10th of Nisan in Mitzrayim, Mishchu Kulachem, which was also Mesiras Nefesh, because they took the god of the Egyptians, and the Pasuk says they were afraid that they get stoned. And here, by the 40 years later, again, a tremendous Mesiras Nefesh, everyone doing a bris milah, everybody together, and just being batuach and Hashem, that nothing will happen. And that's what happened. And I guess tomorrow night we'll learn about the actual Korban Pesach. The point is there are more psukim about the Bris Milah than there are about the Korban Pesach in this Haftarah.